Welcome.
Hello.
One and all.
Good morning.
If you're awake, say amen.
Amen.
All right. The rest of you, if you notice, if you poke the person, if you saw that they didn't say amen, start poking them. Be a nuisance. All right. Are we sat back there, Brother Sean? Let me make sure the microphones are not on. So,
can you hear it? Not yet. You don't hear it then? It's microphone's on.
Greg, you want to check the small mic?
You can't hear anything in the background?
I do now.
Okay.
Thank you. Oh, I've got Sean has to hear about his lines. I have to be real.
Let me put this on.
Sound guy, he's a sound guy.
Yeah.
That would be me.
Yeah. Harriet S. Truman and I have a couple of things in common. One is he was a professing Baptist but didn't go to church, didn't go to a Baptist church. And number two is he couldn't get in the military because of his bad eyesight. And I have that same thing in common with him. I tell you, if you haven't heard it, I'll tell you the story sometime over coffee. 518 over the Sunset Mountains. I had actually no recollection of hearing this song until Sister Martha sang it as a special way back when.
Yeah,
it's
what I
wanted to. So we added it to our repertoire. All coup verses. Try to sing one, but Jenny leads us on this one. This is another one, might be new to some of you. I'm going home. This is one of those they said a lot of people sang as they traveling west, and it was one of those songs that's very simple, so everybody could sing along. And
I have to think for a minute.
William Hunter, 1811 to 1877.
Just got to think for a minute. I'm sorry.
Da 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 da.
Okay, just give me a second.
She never wants me to tell.
I'm going home to die.
one more about going home, 517 on Jordan, Stormy Banks, unless you're John Hartman, and then it has something to do with the Promised Land. I don't know. His hymn book has a different title. But, by the way, you see Jenny playing. Oh, she's back there.
I don't know. I'm just...
She's playing with her arm up like that. It relieves pressure on the...
cervical spine.
Yeah.
I thought it was pulling
in. No, that's why I have to be watched, because she'll put her arm up like that, and I want to call on her.
I think
she's... It just
took... I got a picture of you. Yeah. I'm going to try this next
time. She's just glad that she can do something to relieve the pressure when she needs to. So I'm thankful for that.
Amen. I'm very thankful.
So keep Jenny in your prayers. She's still not all the way there.
Still not right, but Doug knows I wasn't right before this started. So.
Doug can change his joke. Now you can say that her doctor told her that she has a problem with her spine, and she says, "Well, I want a second opinion." And the doctor said, "Well, you're not right. That's the second opinion. You're just not right." There's your second opinion. All right, let's sing out on Jordan Stormy Banks, Awful Verses. Show this. Brother Sean was traveling and got behind a cement truck advertising our church.
Oh, really?
What do you think?
What is it?
A cement truck and advertising the church. BBS.
Our church.
What was that?
Are you kidding?
That was near
Washington
Courthouse.
It is probably there.
We don't know. Be a Bible believer associate church.
Well, that's what it stands for here.
Hey, Jenny, can you bring in my phone and let it on?
Oh, sure. I'm going to take care of myself.
Save me a trip there.
Oh,
get your prayer requests into bbfohio@protonmail.com if you're online. If you're in the house, please whisper. And if you need a prayer card, raise your hand. And Janie's got them, and she'll pass them out. Anybody need one, raise your hand. And Yeah, John.
Mom, do we have one?
I gave it to Johnny.
Okay.
John shared about Brother Sean, who who's not with us today. He's been, how long he's been in a coma?
Tuesday.
Since Tuesday?
Yeah.
He's in a coma.
And it's induced coma, right?
They induced it?
Yeah.
And so we want to pray for him. And you're going to put it on your card so I don't forget it, because I get, I always tell everybody, don't ever trust my memory and prayer requests. Write them down. That way we know that I won't miss it. All right. There's your reminder to silence your cell phone. To our current events update, please hold question comments to the end. Write your question down if you don't think you remember it, to the end of our current events update, brought to you by coffee and tea.
Okay, we approve.
A couple of headline reviews in the news. Number one, the war on terror was all about globalism and drugs. And I've been surprised how many folks really think it was about Al-Qaeda. And I don't know if you saw, I actually was going to put it on here. Somebody was heckling George W. Bush this week, and everything he said was true. And if you don't know, Bush himself, we don't, I don't know for sure what he knew and didn't know, but 9/11, if you hear somebody say it's an inside job, I don't like that phrase, because it was Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda members, some of whom were trained by the CIA.
Oh.
And Osama bin Laden was Tim Osman originally. And also, put that down so you see my face there, Jenny. But then you can go back and read news. A New Century for America, I think it was the title of the document, that Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney and the rest of the people under Bush all had this blueprint, and they said, we need a new Pearl Harbor. Well, some of you may not be aware of this, but Pearl Harbor was a fix, and FDR knew it was coming, and they let it happen as an excuse to get into the war. Whether or not you believe we should be in the war, that's just not the right way to do it. And
false flags.
And so on and on I could go about that. But you need to do your research. If you haven't learned by now not to trust our lying news media and not to trust government agencies and what they say, then you're really behind the eight ball here. You really need to catch up to speed.
Amen.
And we've week after week after week, our current events updates are telling you the world is under the spirit of Antichrist.
Amen.
Wickedness rules. And is in preparation for the beast.
Yeah.
And this war on terror, we buried a bunch of our guys in order to push globalism and drugs was behind most of it. It was for control of the drugs. You'll see headlines like this from BBC, how the U.S. military's opium war in Afghanistan was lost. But you need to understand, it wasn't trying to wipe out the opium trade. It was trying to control it. It's a fight for control. And sadly, it's not about ending drug use, but about control. The greatest atrocities in modern history involve drugs. I don't know how many of you know this. But the greatest atrocities in modern history involve drugs. Go back and see. You'll hear people talk about how terrible the British treatment of the Indians in India in the late 19th century. And it was all about opium. And they used the Indian people to make their money and then fought for control of the opium trade. So don't forget that when you hear these glazed, sanitized versions of history.
Yes.
What's really behind it. World War II would not have happened if it wasn't for drugs. The SS and Adolf Hitler himself were a bunch of dope heads. and Adolf Hitler, under illusions and delusions of drugs, came up with Mein Kampf. And throughout his reign of terror, Adolf Hitler was doing everything from taking cocaine eye drops, which gave him a sense of euphoria, and they meth and all kinds of other drugs they gave him throughout his reign of terror. And there's, you can find resources like this, The Complete History of Nazi German Meth Addiction. And the Russians, when they came in from the east, they would get their hands on this stuff, and they would go crazy, and they would take cities, and it was both. If you don't know this, is Nazis were horrible. The Soviets were just as bad, and maybe even worse in some cases. Yeah. And it involved men on drugs. And so I'm just warning you, if you go to read what actually happened when these, no matter who won, whatever city they were fighting over, the men were all brutally murdered and abused in many cases. The women were brutally raped and murdered, and they were dismembered while they're still alive while being raped. And that's all, I'll leave it right there. And if you go and read what happened, it's just incredible. But when you understand, these guys were all out of their heads on drugs. Just full of the devil. This is from the New York Times, just to show you. I'm not getting this from, conspiracy sites, which you shouldn't necessarily not read. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that this is from a mainstream. The New York Times, who were very communism throughout their history. The CIA drug connection is as old as the agency. And OSS was the original under a guy named William Donovan.
Yeah.
And then it became the CIA. But they've always used anything, any way they want, and they've used drugs. This is called Air America. And you can do your study and read up on this. Air America was what they called the CIA use of everything from helicopters to airplanes and everything to smuggle drugs. Your government at work. It's called black ops. They have black budgets, so no one knows what they're spending or how. Black operations, meaning it blacked out. You can't know what's going on. Read one of the sources you can read for that is... probably on our bookshelf, unless it's checked out. The Black is Beautiful by Peter Ruckman. It doesn't have anything to do with race, but it's all about the black ops and the black budgets and all that. The examples are endless, with the worst to come. In the tribulation period, Revelation 9:21, it says, this is telling you the future, that thankfully you'll be raptured out if you're saved. But what's left behind will be the worst in human history. Jesus says that, by the way. It's coming at a time of great tribulation. You think of what I just told you. I only told you the very surface of the torture and abuse that has been seen throughout the last 100 years. You ain't seen nothing yet if you're going to be left behind. Revelation 9:21 says, neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorceries and so forth. This is at the worst time in human history. God's wrath is being poured out, let alone all the wars and famine and everything going on, and they will still not repent of their murders nor of their sorceries. And you can continue reading there, but I want you to notice that word sorceries. What's behind what's going on the earth? Sorceries.
Yeah.
Just for those who might want to correct your King James Bible, it's an accurate translation of any Greek text that, of that verse. You can see where it says sorceries. Underneath that is Phi, Alpha, Rho, Mu, Alpha, Kappa, Epsilon, Iota, Alpha. Pharmakia. Pharmakia. Where you heard that for?
Yeah,
pharmacy. Sorcery is pharmakia, or what we would call pharmaceuticals. And yes, there are some drugs that are good to take if you have certain conditions and all that. But as I tell you over and over, only about a tenth of the people on any given drug should be on it. The other 90% are all about making money, not about healing people. And any pharmaceutical, whether it's on the street or at your local pharmacy, any pharmaceutical that alters your mind is a danger. You'd better, if you're going to take something like that out of necessity, because people say, well, you get surgery. No, when you take like an anesthetic, you're knocked out. It's not an altered state of mind. It's an unconscious state of mind. We're talking about these pills that put you like a zombie state. And it can put you in a place, if you're not right with God, you're not walking with God especially, you can put you in a place for devil possession. And I'm a Christian, yes, and it can put you in a place of devil possession. And you can not believe that all you want, but you're opening yourself up to devil possession once you think you can't be possessed. Your body can be possessed by an ice cream cone or a devil. I'm sorry, but I think it's just absurd, the teaching that on devil possession to Christians over the last 100 years that used to not be taught. And they convinced everybody, if you're a Christian, you can't be devil-possessed. Anything that can get into your body possesses your body or possesses a part of your body. Yes. You eat an ice cream cone, that ice cream is taking possession in your stomach till it's digested. Well, the devil don't digest.
That's right. That's a good t-shirt.
So you let a devil into that body of yours, you got trouble. And I have to say this to everybody. They say, well, you have the Holy Spirit in you. There's no way the Holy Spirit would indwell with an unclean spirit. He does already because of your unclean spirit.
Yeah.
Your spirit's unclean will be till you're glorified.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'd love you enough to tell you the truth, to warn you of that. Don't buy this nonsense being taught about devil possession. You take drugs that alter your mind, you are opening yourself up. Drugs is basically what it is, what we would call drugs. And it doesn't matter whether the doctor prescribed it or you bought it off of Sammy on the street. There's a reason sorcerers are pictured with a cauldron like this. Why? Sorcery. Sorcerers. Mixed potions. That's just another word for the drugs. Whether you're shooting them, snorting them, popping them, smoking them, as long as you get it in your body, and it takes its effect, that is just an old-fashioned pharmacist.
Yeah.
And again, not all pharmacists, not everything the pharmacist sells is bad for you, not at least not going to put you in an altered state of mind. But still, the association is there. Pharmacist, sorcery, cauldrons, potions, prescriptions, same thing. All in the same family. Sorcery is drugs is sorcery. Keep that in your mind. So the exponential increase in drug use is another piece of the prophecy puzzle.
Absolutely.
What you're saying today with all the abuse going on, whether down in Australia, they're running that country like it's a police state. But here in America, everybody acts like they're totally zoned out robots and they think, must wear masks. Must be shot with vaccine that isn't really a vaccine. Must have 2 shots. Now must have booster. Every 6 months I have must have booster. If you have not had booster, you cannot be in my presence. Mayday, mayday, mayday. I mean, that's the typical mentality of the American now. A bunch of idiots. Yeah, there are. They're idiots. Go look the word up. And one more. All of this is happening as the Mark of the Beast system is being developed. Just a recent example, Amazon One. Amazon One is palm scanning technology. It's now being used as an admission in events, but it's being used in other places where, well, to use Amazon One, you go to an Amazon One standalone ticketing pedestal, scan one of your palms or both, and you'll be allowed to get into the event. There are already other places where you can walk in now and shop by going and getting your card, filling it up, and walking out. You don't have to go through the cashier or anything. Yeah. When you walk in, they register you as present. Then when you walk out, that thing just within a millisecond adds up everything you've got in your cart plus tax and charges your account. What's that sound like?
Wow.
Revelation 13:16, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Well, the scanning thing is using a thing in your pocket right now. This Amazon One's taking it a step closer to the beast system, as illustrated on the Amazon website. If you go there, Amazon One website, what's he holding up there?
Right hand.
One way to unlock the world, powered by your palm.
Wow.
Your palm is part of your what? Hand.
Wow.
Come on, some of you. I know some of you know that. Your palm is part of your what?
Hand.
And what hand?
Right.
And isn't that what the Bible says?
Yes.
There you go. As easy as 3, 2, 1. All you need to do is hover your palm.
Wow.
So we're getting the whole system set up for the mark of the beast. It's not the mark, but it is setting the stage for the mark of the beast. The whole police state mentality over in John chapter, I think, 15, but in the Gospel of John, Jesus is talking and he says, you know, there's going to come a time where your friends and loved ones are going to have you killed and they're going to think they're serving God doing it.
Yeah.
Well, check out the leaders of this left-wing nut job movement and how many of them call themselves reverend. And how many of their people, this happened to, what's the lady's name, MTG or whatever is it?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene. And she was on the steps having a shouting match with some baby-killing Nazi left-winger. And guess what the left-wing nutcase says to her? You're not a very good Christian. You need to be a better Christian. You need to go to church and learn how to be a Christian.
Really?
They'll all do that to you. They don't know God from the devil.
Right.
And yet they'll throw in your face God. And they will convince themselves. There are women right now who tell you their work to kill babies in the womb. They'll call it God's work.
They do.
Yeah. And a lot of the people who are standing up there are men and women reverends from the United Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church, the Presbyterian Church USA, you name it. A bunch of apostate denominations whose reverends serve God by killing babies. You don't think they'll kill you?
Yeah.
Babies are a lot cuter than you.
Yeah.
If they'll kill anybody who will kill a baby will kill anybody.
That's
where we're at. Now, I think, Rick, you had a...
Yeah, I was just going to say, my brother's a PhD pharmacist, and over the years, he's just told me that most people that are taking pharmaceuticals, it's their lifestyle, and they refuse to change.
Absolutely.
They operate, they could mostly get almost all the drugs taken away from them, but they won't do it.
Yeah.
They won't change. And I mean, sometimes it helps, like we have penicillin, we have other things, sanitary, we discover germs, and then the proliferation of causing problems and then administering medicine for the problems is where we're at now.
Absolutely.
It caused our problems and medication mm-hmm. or physical things.
Yeah, with the Johnson & Johnson thing, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I showed the Johnson & Johnson thing where they sell things with that, what was it called, benzoate or something like that that gives you cancer, and then they have the cure. That's an extreme version, but that's what a lot of these... They give you the medicine that it'll cause a problem. Oh, here's enough. How many, if you're watching TV, we don't watch a lot of TV, we've seen enough to see these commercials, where they'll tell you that this isn't to replace your pill that you're already on. It's a supplement or
an add-on. For example, the psych meds cause twitching in a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. So then they give you another medicine to stop the twitching that's caused by the psych med.
And then that causes blood pressure to go up, so they give you a pill for blood pressure. And that causes your cholesterol to go up, so they give you a statin. And that causes your blood sugar to go up, so they give you metformin and to kill your kidney. And then they have to give you drugs and put you on dialysis and so forth and so on.
So, it's a snowball.
We've seen this so many times over the last 30 years or so. Okay?
To add on to the opiate thing, Britain has done involving opiate. They literally fought two wars in China in the opium wars.
Yeah.
Over the opiate trade.
Yeah. Yeah, big business and been behind the wars. It either was the major or a contributing factor to every war over the last 100 years or so. Donnie?
So isn't that the palm reading technology, that's actually pretty old, isn't it? At least if it's not old, but
well, the ability to use the palm for identification has been. The ability to use it to make purchases and that sort of thing, that's the new part.
Yeah,
we said back then, look at this. And I said, that'll never be used for what you're saying. Well, here we are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the thing. You know, you go back the year I was born or the year before I was born, 69 or 68, right here in Upper Arlington. They took the whole town and used a cashless system as a trial. You can go back and look it up. It's on the internet. They tell the story. And I didn't know that until a few years ago. Someone told me. I'm like, that's crazy talk. You know, then you go online, you're like, it happened.
Yeah.
It really did happen. They took the whole county of Upper Arlington and turned it into a cashless system for a number of months.
Glad I didn't move there.
Well, then that's really what was part of what now it's been incremental since then to put you on the same system eventually. And the credit card with the chip where you can just walk past something or wave it, that's all stepping stones to get where we're going. So there you go. Happy days are here again. But you know what? As we say over and over, that just proven to you, the God of the Bible is in control.
Amen.
The God of the Bible is in charge. Everything the God of the Bible said was going to happen is happening right before your eyes, right before everybody's eyes. And those who reject him are going to stand before him and be held accountable for rejecting what they see with their own eyes.
Yeah.
And that plays into our study. So make your comment and then open with prayer, Johnny.
Okay. Isn't the hidden joke of that song is that it came out right before the Depression?
Yes. Yeah, so it'll probably be a big hit here pretty soon, right, for the tribulation.
Well, it came out right before the Depression.
That song.
Because they had, wasn't it, like there's a whole bunch of government things that they were doing to try to make the economy better, and of course it crashed instead.
The government isn't the solution to your problem. Government is the problem.
Yeah.
I think that's a Ronald Reagan quote. All right, Brother Johnny, go ahead and open prayer.
Mr. Dear Lord, thank you for continuing to give us freedom in this country. And we pray you'll continue to preserve it until the rapture. And let's pray you'll bless the sermon as your word is preached so we can learn it and be reminded of what we need so we can keep on going until the end. Pray you'll bless the fellowship later. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. All right, Luke 12, 7 through 59, as we close out our study of Luke chapter 12. Why judge ye not what is right? We'll see that phrase taken from the passage right here in verse 57. Give you a second to turn there. Jesus is confronting his listeners with their lack of discernment. That was in our last study. We talked at length about that. And now he confronts them with their lack of what?
Judge not.
That's another one of those liberal, they think they're really saying something to you, and they tell you, judge not. And you know what you say to them? There's no period at the end. Keep quoting. Keep going.
I don't want to make a judgment, but you can still judge.
No, actually, this is a good lesson. That's spelled correctly.
I learned that the hard way.
Yeah. But in your King James Bible, it's spelled this way, but either spelling is actually correct.
Oh, okay.
Well, I didn't learn
during King James.
Again, you gave us an example of that with Taylor Green there.
Yeah. But I actually learned that first time back in fifth grade when I won the spelling bee. I spelled judgment, and actually, I just won like my class. And then when I went to the bigger one, I got in like fifth place or something. But in my class, though, I won it out of like 30 kids, and I spelled judgment without an E. And other people were like, he got it wrong. And then they said, correct. And they were confused, and the lady saw it. So she says, well, the reason is, and she explained. So, judgment. Let's read about verses 57 through 58, 9. I got 58 there. Read through 59 with me. Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite.
Amen.
God's people say amen.
Amen.
So verse 57 there. Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right, even though the Jewish leaders are wrong? That does not excuse their unbelief. How many of you, all of us have probably done it. You do something wrong, and your first response, I didn't mean to. That's a meaningless response. You know, if you kill somebody and you didn't mean to, God doesn't say, oh, okay, do over. The person's still dead. Mm-hmm. You say, well, I won't go to prison for murder. You still get go to court and be charged with manslaughter. It may be a different charge, but you're still guilty of sin and a crime. I didn't mean to. Terrible excuse. Why? Because a lot of times I didn't mean to really is because you didn't care enough to be careful, which is a choice. Not caring is a choice. There are going to be most of the people, I think all of us in this room know, are going to stand before God and answer for the fact that they didn't care enough to know.
Yeah.
The evidence is there, the truth is there, but they didn't care enough to know. Willful ignorance is one way of putting it. Willful ignorance. I just want everybody in the room to understand, if you don't know something and you could know, you will be held accountable.
That's right.
It's not an excuse to be lazy or apathetic. Those are sins.
That's
right. How many of you know that truth? One of the things they're telling everybody about, you know, wearing masks and getting shots and all those things, you know, they tell you the number of them. We're over a majority now of people. Shouldn't you join us and do the right thing? You know, as though being in the majority is the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think in Germany, the majority went along with the Nazis.
Yeah.
And as I said, read about what happened to them by the end of the war, and you'll see that being in the majority didn't help them one bit. According to Jesus, the majority of people are going to hell.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Jesus said, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it.
Yeah.
Few. The majority are going to hell. You need to really get that through your mind and get used to being the minority. I love that poster where everybody's saluting Hitler and you got the one guy just standing there. How many have seen that? You got like 200 or 300 or 400 people, I couldn't count them, huge people in this shot of everybody, you know, showing off their, you know, to Hitler, and there's that one man just standing there. And it says, be this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because you will answer for you. And being with the majority won't be a defense. If the majority is wrong, It was the majority of the people there in Jerusalem that yelled, "Crucify him!" The majority is not what it's about. Strength in numbers, if you're going to fight and that kind of thing, you got to make sure you're fighting for the right reason.
Yeah.
But if you're fighting for the right reason and there's strength in numbers, true. But the fact you have numbers doesn't prove anything. You'd better be fighting for the right thing. And when you stand before the Lord, it will not be an excuse that, "I didn't know, you could have. But all the other people," that doesn't impress me at all. See? But that's how people think. I mean, how many times through my life when I've stood for the right thing, I've had people look at me and say, "You know, why can't you just go along with what's, you know, why do you have to be a troublemaker? Why do you have to..." And, you know, it wasn't in my nature to be the troublemaker. You know, before I got saved, I just wanted to be left alone. I was over there doing my thing, my handful of friends, just leave me alone. Well, then I got saved, and I kind of had that attitude still, but God kept putting me in positions where in order to stand for the truth, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb.
Yep.
You're going to be accused of being a troublemaker, and you're not going to be liked. I was a pretty popular guy in high school, I have to tell you. I enjoyed that part. I enjoyed being liked. What I did, though, I spent a lot of time talking to the uncool kids, the kids that people made fun of, I'd take up for them. I've told the story about getting in a fight and having my nose broken, my eyes, you know, that was because I was taking up for a kid who was being picked on.
Aww.
I still, you know, I lost the fight. Being the good guy didn't help me one bit. I still got my butt kicked. but I, you know, I did what I believe is right. And that was after I saved. And ever since then, time after time, I found myself, "Listen, I'm just telling you this because I love you enough to tell you the truth. Especially in the time you're living now, you had better get used to being the guy that everybody calls a kook. You girls, you ladies, had better get used to not having all your friends loving on you and agreeing with you, but trying to convince you or even intimidate you to do what they say is right because it's the majority. Know why you stand where you stand and then stand."
Yep.
Now, Jesus will show you some wisdom. He's illustrating the wisdom of these people who should know better, but they're on the wrong side. And he, of course, knows what's about to happen. So he knows these people. Maybe other than his disciples, a lot of the other people here might be the ones that yell, "Crucify him," in a few weeks or months after this. The Jews are on their way to destruction. Think of that. While Jesus is talking to them right now, he knows that they're only about 40 years away from complete destruction. But each individual can get right before it goes down. You know what happened is before Titus came down in 70 AD and destroyed Jerusalem, the Christians said, "Wait a minute. Jesus said this was going to happen and we better get out of town." So they did. And they were accused of being traitors. And that happened to Jeremiah, by the way, before Babylon came in, 586 B.C. Jeremiah was preaching, saying, "Surrender to Babylon and God will let you live. If you fight, he's going to make sure you're destroyed." Why? God had already pronounced judgment on them. They were so wicked and apostate. God said, "I'm bringing Babylon down as judgment. You surrender to him or you die." The choice. Jeremiah's preaching God's word and what they called him. He's given over to the Chaldeans. They were wanting to execute him. They threw him in prison in a, it was just murk and mire. And they had to use rotten rags and tie him together and pull him up out of there. And it's Jeremiah's a good book. You haven't read it. So.
Yeah.
So that is where Christians stand today as we approach Daniel's 70th week. That's where you and I are today. We are telling people, I'm telling you, you got on social media, I was on Gab for a while, and they would just cuss me one side and down the other because I supported Israel. And I said, I believe God's not done with Israel. I believe in the rapture. So I wasn't building bunkers and storing up enough ammunition to fight the Antichrist and all that. And they said, you're part of the problem. If you were part of the solution, you'd be ready to fight with us. I said, I'm not going to be here. That didn't matter. And they just called me a kike and a Jew lover and you know, all these. And I'm like, well, that's true. You can call me that all you want. It doesn't hurt. Yeah. Rick, you got
me? I'm just saying that even in this verse here in 58, it says that we're all heading towards the judgment.
Yeah.
With the magistrate. We've got our enemy, which is our adversary now.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's saying, look, you made yourself wrong with God. We're on our way to judgment. You better get right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of just kind of where.
But it's also an individual thing that you to do that at this point, if you're going to do what's right at this point where Jesus is talking, you're going to stand out. You're going to be an individual, rebellious, one of the contrarians, whatever they want to call you.
Peculiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scripture with scripture. We'll look more closely at this when Jesus gives a more detailed prophecy in Luke 19, but I want to read it. Now, last week we read something else from Luke 19. This isn't a rerun. Go over to Luke 19, verses 42 through 44. In Luke 19, beginning verse 40, I'll read 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. He's looking at Jerusalem. Why is Jesus weeping over Jerusalem? Because he sees 70 A.D. He knows what's going to happen. So, he says in verse 42, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Listen, we're going to go into more detail when we get to this later, but they could know what's going on. They should know that Jesus is Messiah. He fulfills all the messianic prophecies, but also the very time for the Messiah to show up was given to them in Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27. And other places would add to the puzzle. And they should have known, all right, this man who comes from Galilee, you're going to see the Pharisees say, no, there's nothing in the Bible about a prophet arising out of Galilee. They didn't know their Bible. Isaiah says, a light is shining on the Gentiles from Galilee, amen, prophesying of the coming of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Says he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Says that he's going to be born of a virgin. Tells you that he's going to make the blind to see. He's going to heal the lame. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to, and then all that they're about to see that takes place at the crucifixion is in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. And in addition to all those prophecies given hundreds and into the thousands of years before Jesus even shows up, that can be a little vague. You know, when. But when they're all happening at once, and Daniel 9, 24 to 27 said you could actually count down to the coming of Messiah. And Jesus says, even thou, at least in this thy day. He's telling you should know this exact day. This is your time and you're missing it.
That's right. Amen.
Read 43 and 44. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time. There it is again. What didn't they know? They didn't know the time of thy visitation. What's that mean? God in flesh, Messiah, visiting from heaven to accomplish Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then verse 10, or 7, I'm sorry, that's Isaiah 9, 6. Verse 7 then goes and explains that the ultimate end of the Messiah is of His government, there shall be no end.
Amen.
So there's no doubt that He's talking about the Messiah. No doubt that He's God. He's the mighty God in human flesh. All this is in their Old Testament. And we'll look at it again, Daniel 9, 24, 27, where it actually tells them the exact day He's to show up. And Jesus says, you don't know the day. You missed it. God keeps books. You know, a lot of people are rightly concerned about the fact that the government, the NSA and the CIA and the FBI and all these alphabet agencies, the IRS, all of them track your every move. Mm-hmm. Tyrant Biden now wants to track every transaction of any bank account that has more than $600.
That's everybody.
Everybody, basically.
Yeah.
Wants to track your every financial move, and they're collecting all of your emails and all of your phone calls and all of your texts. And a lot of you are probably being watched through your smart TVs. And all this other stuff going on where the government is tracking you. They've got huge warehouses filled with, each server has like 3 terabytes, and there's tens of thousands of these. And it's all been encrypting, and then it makes it like a smaller file so they can pack more on there. And it's got all that information permanently on file about you. And you've got a number already. We don't have the 666, but you've got your SSN, Social Security number. And that number, all they got to do is put that in, and bam, they got all access to all that information about you. But you know what? Compared to God's books, that's child's play.
That's the imitation by Satan.
Yeah. What they don't know is your thoughts. What they don't know is things you haven't said on electronic data that, you know, you can talk, you know. You ever see Doug and I go out back, standing back by the, talking.
We think Doug has everything.
We don't want anybody to listen to us. Don't you do that? You ever do that? That's about what you have to do in order to not be tracked by your government now. Just about everything you say and do. But God keeps His books, and His are much better kept. So, as we read there in verse 58, He's telling people, when thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him. He's telling these people, you're on the way to judgment as a nation, but when nations are judged, individuals are affected. And of course, this applies to going on your way to the judgment seat of Christ as a Christian. Same thing. But in the immediate context, He's telling them that if they don't, He says, lest He hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. And then verse 59, I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. That's quite a judgment. Those who don't repent pay. And in the immediate, they would be starved. They would be encamped about by the Roman armies, and they would starve to the point that they'd eat each other. Cannibalism was widespread. People would fight over whose kid to eat next. That's how bad it got. Don't get mad at God about that. If they had listened to God, they wouldn't have been there. They chose to be there. When you choose life without God, you are choosing the jungle. America is choosing the jungle. After the rapture takes place, America, you've seen the movies over the years probably, where cities become like prison camps, Escape from L.A., you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Mad Max with Mel Gibson. They made a new one I didn't see. Those are all just glimpses of what America is going to become. And if you don't think people will look like they do in those movies, they already do. Have you been out much lately?
Yeah, right.
They already look like that. And the things they're going to do? Unbelieving Jews lost everything. It started the massive loss in 70 AD, and then it kind of trickled down to finally 135. There was another revolt by a remnant that remained, and they wiped them out, and it was totally over. Culminating in the complete loss of Jerusalem and the land of Israel until about 1897, they started trickling back in, and 1948 it became a nation. Not only did Christ rejecting Jews lose everything in this life, but also the next. A lot of these people Jesus is talking to right now lost everything in this life, and then they also lost everything in the next. The price of sin against an everlasting God is everlasting. Yeah.
Amen.
Look over at, let me just read it. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into what? Prepared for the devil and his angels. I still have it wrong. The gift of salvation from an everlasting God is what?
Everlasting. Amen.
John 3:16, you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what?
Everlasting life.
And as we said, ignorance is not an excuse. Jesus is confronting these people with their ignorance, basically. But he said it's not an excuse.
Yeah.
Remember, we've quoted this a number of times in Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for what?
Lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge. And if you read Hosea 4, we studied and we went through that. These people rejected God. It wasn't just ignorance. It was willful ignorance. Rejected knowledge. God is calling all sinners, and each is responsible to respond to, number one, creation. Look at Romans 1:20. Romans 1:20. Give everybody a second to get there. We are Bible Believers Fellowship. We want you to read your Bible.
Yeah.
Romans 1:20. Oh, actually, I need to read 19 before you even get there. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. Read verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. One of the things God used to get a hold of me was creation. And evolution became so absurd. This is before I was saved. I just realized how absurd. And I read this little thing somebody gave me about the eyeball. And their story, the fairy tale for grown-ups, about how we were once just kind of had no eyes, and a skin fold appeared, just happened to appear where a good eye, a good place for the eyeball would be. And that skin fold appeared, and over millions of years, this happened, that happened, and all this happened, and finally you have an eyeball. And I thought, I am not that stupid. But people buy that. Because they just want to reject God and they want to have some basis for rejecting God. So they pretend to be intellectual and too smart to believe in creation. You have to be a complete fool to believe in evolution.
An arrogant,
arrogant fool. You also have Bible prophecy. And as a Christian, or as an unsaved man, I'm sorry. I'd been raised in church and raised by Christian parents, and I'd heard this stuff. And then after I got off the stuff and I had a clear mind and I seen this about creation, I started thinking through what the Bible presents in prophecy. And we read a different passage, I think, Wednesday night. That's, again, not a rerun. Let's go to Isaiah 46. And you ought to mark this in your Bible. Isaiah 46, beginning verse 9. And this was really kind of the icing on the cake for me as far as theism, as far as believing in God versus atheism. When you consider the creation, and then you consider Bible prophecy. Read 9 and 10 with me. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, and so forth and so on. And you won't find that in a Quran, or a Book of Mormon, or the Hindu Bhagavad Gita, or the writings of Ellen G. White, or the writings found in Scientology, or whatever. You name your other so-called holy book that people call. They're misusing the word holy. And those aren't holy books, H-O-L-Y. They're holy, H-O-L-E-Y. They're shot for all the holes. And there's the biggest hole in all those other books is the hole left without any word of prophecy in those books.
Amen. That's right.
But there's one God who created all things and gave us a book. And his book gives you all the evidence you need to know he is real with Bible prophecy. And we don't have time for all of it. You heard some of it this morning. Just study the nation of Israel and the prophecy related to Israel, for example. And you'll see there's no way this book is not from the true God. Three is the Spirit. We could call it the Spirit of grace. That's found in Titus 2:11. Titus 2:11. I'll read it because we're running on time here. It just says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
Amen.
So you have to reject creation. You have to reject the witness of Bible prophecy. And you have to reject the work that God's doing in your heart and mind. And when these unsaved people stand at the great white throne, they will confess and admit that God was working in their heart and mind and they chose to reject it. And the gospel itself. The gospel itself. Look at what Colossians 1 says. Many moons ago, we went through the book of Colossians. Colossians 1:23, another one you ought to mark in your Bible. I mean, you can choose not to believe it, but it's there. It says what it says. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the what?
Gospel.
Which ye have heard, and which was, read that with me. Preach to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The gospel has been and continues to be preached around the world. And sometimes even the messenger who brought the gospel may not even be a true believer. And over the last 150, 200 years, it's been everything from the telegraph to the radio, to the telephone, to the internet, and television in there in between somewhere. Preaching the gospel all over the globe. Missionaries by the tens of thousands. And folks, you can read to the rest of your life and you'll never catch up with all the missionary activity around the world. And that's, even if you could, that's all just what's written. We're going to get to heaven and we're going to meet all kinds of missionaries we didn't even know existed. We're going to meet missionaries. I find them all the time as I continue reading, researching everything. I find this group over here who were sending missionaries out to the rest of the world. And we didn't even know they were doing it. And that's in writing. I guarantee you there's going to be other groups we didn't even know existed. And everyone standing at the great white throne is going to be accountable. Rejecting what they see in creation. Rejecting the amazing prophecy of Scripture. rejecting the work of the Spirit on their hearts and minds, rejecting the preaching of the gospel.
Amen, that's right.
Jesus promised in John 12:32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, he says, will draw all men unto me.
Amen.
I believe Jesus.
Yeah.
Only a remnant believed on him. These people we'll read about here in Luke. Only a remnant believed in him. What about you? What judgeth thee? You may even be a believer, but you're treading on thin ice because you never really put any effort into really having a solid faith. You really ought to dig in and get to know the Creator as Creator. Get to know Bible prophecy, not the wild garbage out there, but I mean what's in here. Bible prophecy from the book. Get to know the Holy Spirit. Spend time in His Word and praying. And let the Holy Spirit work on your life. And really get grounded in that gospel message. And you'll grow leaps and bounds. And that'll also make you more fruitful in your Christian life. If you're saved, Jesus paid it all. Jesus has taken care of everything. You're saved. Not by your works, but by His works. You're saved. But it's only reasonable that now, and if you're a mature Christian, you already know this. Because if you don't know this, you're not a mature Christian. I don't care what you think. You know that it's only reasonable that you spend your life for Him. He has saved you from an eternal hell. He has saved you to be with Him in glory for eternity. If you're thinking at all, you know that when you stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, anything that is not done for Christ and for His glory will be of no consequence eternally at all. So a mature Christian understands what Jesus has done, understands these things we talked about this morning, and will live your life and spend it for Jesus. I want everybody to bow your head and close your eyes. I don't do this very often. But I want you to just bow your head and close your eyes just between you and the Lord. And if you have not committed yourself to living your life according to His will and His Word and for His glory, I want to give you a moment where you can do it right now. In your own words, from your heart, I remember the prayer I prayed. I actually prayed, Lord, I feel like committing suicide. But instead of blowing my head off, I'm just going to go ahead and pretend I'm dead. My body, my mind, my soul belongs to you now. Greg is dead. Now, I haven't perfectly fulfilled that since, but I want to tell you, it was a life-changing moment. And you'll be much better off having served God with that attitude than you would serving Him without that attitude. So take a moment, if you will, right now. I'll ask the musicians to come forward. And we're going to sing page 504 in the hymn book. When you become so heavenly minded that you don't care what the world thinks about you. I know some of you have heard, so heavenly minded you know earthly good. That's not really being heavenly minded then. Because if you're truly heavenly minded, that means you're going to live your life for the Lord. And now you're so heavenly minded that most people can't stand you. Why? Because you don't care about the things of this world. You're caught up in Jesus. Caught up in serving the Lord. That's what this song really is about. Sweet by and by. If you can't stand. Oh. Each one of you hit that button there if you would.